Hallelujah. I'm glad for everyone that is here. We welcome you. We're so welcome to be here, and we're just going to continue to participate and worship God throughout this service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we had a number of our young adults and a little bit older than young adults go away to Tulsa, Oklahoma for a week and spend some time together and listen to, that's Homer's, not mine, mine pray in tongues even at 2 years old. Hallelujah. Well, they could. I don't know. They probably don't, but they could. And spend some time together and hear what we're hearing here, hearing doctrine of the same kind. Jesus is coming back, and I believe prior to his coming there is a great outpouring, and I believe that we are going to be a part of that outpouring. Hallelujah. If we do not relent, amen, we must continually remind ourselves that through the power of the Holy Ghost and by the word of God, we will stand strong. Hallelujah. We've got to continue to remind ourselves and let him remind us. Hallelujah. I am convinced that if the Apostle Paul were to come back to America today, if somehow the Lord allowed him to come back from heaven, and the churches actually knew that he was the Apostle Paul, and if he was invited to speak at some of the biggest churches in America or on TV or whatever, I believe that it wouldn't take the church very long to say, I don't agree with him. I don't agree with what he's teaching. You say, well, that'd be impossible. He taught the Word of God. Even if he read from his own text, which, of course, he did not himself inspire. The Word says in 2 Timothy that all the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Ghost. But if he read the text that he wrote by the Holy Ghost and preached the doctrine, in other words, what he meant by what he wrote, it would be repudiated or it would be fought against and say, no, that's not what you taught us, or that's not what we believe that you said. Can you imagine telling somebody that said it from the very beginning, that's not what you said? And I believe there would be that argument. They might even say, you're a false Paul. You're a false Paul. That's not what we believe. Why would they do that? Because they've come to those determinations of what they believe the Word of God says, based on fables, their own understanding of the Word of God. I'll go a step further. Now, this may sound real like a heretic. I believe that in many cases, that if Jesus Christ himself were to come back, they might not be able to deny the miracles, but once he began to teach them his doctrine, even though it's been sealed in the Word for 2,000 years, some would begin to say, you're a false Christ. I don't know you according to this kind of doctrine. Do you know much of the church? Now this sounds real strange. They don't know the real Jesus. Paul said if another one and teaches you another gospel, which is not another gospel, there is no other gospel, but if they teach you a false Christ or a false gospel, you might go along with them. He said, I'm scared Paul was afraid. Now, thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And thank God for the ministry of other people who labor together with us and with those around the world, hallelujah, that are teaching sound doctrine. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we got several of our young adults that came or went, and this morning I'd like to hear from them. In fact, I'd like to isolate them geographically for a moment. If you went on the trip, would you please come forward and sit at the front? Okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is probably most. I don't know. I'm not going to take the time to count. Hallelujah. Miss Hollywood is coming with her shades. Hallelujah. I would like to take this opportunity for this group and as many in this group as would like to just to come and share for a moment, to share their personal testimony of what the conference meant to them. And I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. One of the things that I think that happened was, which was really, really important, is we got the cootie devils off of you guys, which was really important. Cootie devils, what is that? You know, when you were in second grade or whatever, the girls on the bus and the boys on the bus, they had cooties. Now, I'm not sure what a cootie is, but I know it's bad. We were not supposed to sit next to the girls, and they couldn't sit next to us. Now, that changes a little bit later, just a few years later. All that, some of the cooties go away. But whatever cooties are, they're invisible, and they make you not want to be around or talk to that person. You know, we come in church every single week with cootie devils on us. Really, it's not cootie devils, it's cootie flesh. It's like, I don't know why I just can't connect with that person. But there's something about them. I'm not even saying it's spiritual, but there's something about their personality. I just can't connect with them. Listen, that junk, there's a real, and I say it is junk, it's junk. There's an exact correlation in the Word and in the Spirit with how bonded we are with each other and the move of the Holy Ghost. How tight-knit, and how much we want to be together and talk with each other. And if you get, now there's a way you can judge yourself, and this is a little bit of a side journey, but it's good. If you come in or you're thinking, I just want to concentrate on Jesus today, and I really don't want anybody to say anything to me. It's me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. No, 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 no. Because Jesus is sitting next to you. And you can judge your attitudes. Hallelujah. Yes. So they got a chance to ride in a van for like, I don't know, how long? 22 hours. That was so good for those guys. I'm glad I didn't do it. And I'm glad Homer did it. But it was good for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to ask each one of them that would please come and just share. And you don't have to worry about time unless, you know, whatever. But I would like to hear what happened to them there. But I'd also, if the Holy Spirit speaks to them concerning what the Lord's been doing in their life and speaking to them personally concerning what they hear, the message they're hearing today. Hallelujah. So, amen.
All right. Well, When I decided I was going, I was like, well, I just want to go for the conference, you know. Fellowship, that's nice and all, but, you know, I was thinking more, getting more from the conference than the fellowship. And that changed, like, the first hour in the van ride. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to start, like, liking these people. And so the van ride was fun. Probably after midnight, it started getting the most fun. And from like midnight to 5 a.m., it was just a blast. And every time we went out to eat, like everyone sitting around us was just like, they're like, you know, you guys, you know, we like you guys. You guys are cool, you know, and we were having so much fun and we were loud. I thought we were going to get kicked out. Like everywhere we went, I thought we were going to get kicked out, but we didn't. And it was cool. But let's see, the first day I got there, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to find my wife. You know, I start like, I'm like, That was, I mean, yeah, that's the whole, like, me, Renee, and Robert were like, come on, you know, we got this. And so we start scoping out, and I see a few, and I'm like, oh, okay. And so like, after the first day, the Holy Spirit was like, no, that's not why you're here. So I kicked that to the curb, and actually, after the first day of services, I didn't even want to look for a wife anymore. I wanted to be at the service. I wanted to be at the church 24/7. I didn't even want to go back to the hotel. I just wanted to be there, and like the presence at the church was crazy. So, one of the first services, Nathan was talking about how kids in our generation don't read the word, and I was like, oh, I don't read the word. And I was like, I mean, I listen to the word sometimes when my dad puts it on, but I don't deliberately open up the Bible and read it. I just like, oh, I'm just going to pray in tongues for an hour. I'll read the word later. I just kicked to the curb, kicked it through. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, that's horrible. So after that service, I'm sure everybody in that service went back to the hotel and read, because we were like, oh my gosh, none of them, oh my gosh. So anyways, long story short, I read the word now. I probably read the word more this past week than I have in like, I'm not even going to say. You guys. there was something else I wanted to say. The fellowship was the most part for me. The services was, you know, they teach, you know, there was meat there, stuff that I needed, but the fellowship was the most part. And I was not expecting that before I went. And so I love all you guys. You guys are awesome.
Hi guys. Okay. So for me, exactly like what Harry said, starting out, the fellowship, absolutely awesome. I think it was very critical for us to have this bonding and this closeness. I think we're going to need that more than ever as we progress into the future. Let's see. God, there were so many things. It was absolutely amazing. From, of course, the teachings, listening to Gary, listening to Nathan, listening to everybody out there, the anointing that they had. Was amazing, but I think for me, and I think I could speak for all of us, these were some things that we were talking about together as a group. We're so grateful to be in this church. I don't think we realize, because we don't leave here as much. Sorry, I'm about to cry. I don't think we realize, because we don't step out of here as much as, you know, maybe we even should. But I think for me, and we all realized as we stepped out, how much we really have here, how much we have under Bronk and under Homer and from our parents that raised us. As we were mingling among the other adults out there, and the other kids, it was kind of like, we kind of realized, not that we're anything special among ourselves, but we just realized how rare this is and how rare a precious gem that we have and that we were raised with. And it would be a shame. We just know that it would be a shame for us to throw this upbringing and this message away, because not everybody is privileged to sit under this. And we just realize now more than ever, just the way the world is, the amount of Christians that are, when you look at 8 billion people on this planet and you see how many Christians are out of that 8 billion, that's a kind of a scary number. And then when you think how many of those are Christians are under the age of 30, that's an even scarier number. And then how many of those under the age of 30 are not liberal and are actually practicing for real Christianity? and you narrow that number down, and it gets narrower and narrower and narrower, and then you get to who actually believes in even praying in tongues or has even heard of the Holy Spirit and understands anything remotely about this walk, and it gets even more slim. And then you go out there and you talk to people, and the people we thought that were out there, there was a handful of them, don't get me wrong, that were like us, and the people that are working, running alongside of us in Tulsa that are our age, but most of them were still baby Christians. And when we stepped back and realized what we had, and again, not that we're anywhere near arrived, because you know we're all striving, we just realized how important it is for us to step up. And if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? So that's basically what we came back with, knowing that somebody needs to be able to take this responsibility on and to bring this home and get this done. So, all right, that's all I have to say, because I'll talk all day.
Okay. For me, when they said they were going to the conference and I decided I would go, I thought it would be nice and everything, but I wasn't like, I didn't like have a specific purpose in going necessarily besides, you know, the fellowship and everything. And as I got closer and closer, I felt like there was a specific reason that I was supposed to be there. And over the last several months, she knows already, over the last several months, I've been spending a lot of time just really growing and healing from a lot of stuff, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in worship. But I still felt like I was missing something. And I didn't know what it was. I couldn't put my finger on it. And during the time at the conference, there were several things that the Lord has kind of spoke to me on throughout the week, and that is not there anymore. The things that were missing, I found out what they were, and it's just really awesome. It was really awesome getting to spend time with all these guys, because the time that I've seen them has been really minimal, just at church every so often here and there. Otherwise, I hadn't really gotten to spend time with them and get to know them. And so it's really brought me a lot closer to everybody here and to the body and everything. So, amen.
If I cry, I'm not crying. It's my eyes sweating. So it's like, unlike everyone else, I did not want to go to the conference. Homer just kept bothering me, like always, like, oh, you got to go to the conference. You got to go to the conference. And I was supposed to go to Haiti, and when I would try to renew my passport, it fell through, and Homer finally... I have a green card. So when Homer found that out, now it was a new case. It was like, okay, well, you got to go now. You got to go, whether it's money or whatever it is. And I kept trying to dodge it because I didn't want to go. And... you know, a week before the conference, Homer called me and was like, you know, with the Supreme Court ruling and everything, you have to go. And I'm like, man, all he does is pray, and now he wants to bother me. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. I try to find a lie, but I was like, he's praying enough. He's going to know if I'm lying to him. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go. And right before that, a series of events happened, and I'm like, you know, I was having really a tough time right 3 days before, a few days before that happened, and it came to a point where I was like, okay, looks like whatever's happening, I'm going to be going through hell, I'm going to have some tough time, and Homer's like, you know, come to this conference, and it's going to be a refresher for you, and you need it. And I get to the I wasn't at first fellowship as much because I was really going through it. I didn't want to talk. Everybody was joking, and I'm just like, yeah. So I get to the conference. Surprisingly, you know, I have my mind's really clogged up and everything else, and it's like everything just drop. And I get there and I start worshiping, and it's just like. Everything completely changed. My whole mind cleared up, and when I heard the message, like Harry said about reading the Word, I was like, holy, like, we really don't read the Word. I didn't know what to say. I was like, whoa, man. And I went back to the church, and I start reading the Word and so forth. One of the things I could say I definitely gotten out of the conference is the fact I saw Nathan preach, because it was like, you know, it was someone young who was doing it, who was doing the Word. Not saying you guys aren't young, but they were younger, and it was like, you know, I finally saw someone, and I don't know if there's such thing as godly jealousy, but I was looking at them preaching the exact truth, and I was like, wow, you know, there's someone out there who's doing it. I'm kind of like, yo, this is my big brother in the faith, and, you know, I got to talk to him, and one of the things that, you know, and it's not, again, it's hearing it from someone who's young, and being that I work from home, and I always had an excuse for not to spend time praying, spending time in the Word. And he looked at me like, man, you have that much time, you're not praying like a crazy man? And I just look at him. I wanted to say, like, shut up. But I look at him like, wow, really, it started to dawn on me. Like, I've been making a lot of excuses, and, like, this is all I know. And we are the next generation, because if you look at how the world's going, it's not, you know, we have the standing truth. And it was awesome, you know, the service, the, you know, watching Tim Simple preach. I was just like amazed, and it was definitely a blessing. I think I had something else to say. Oh, about being grateful for this church, because I actually fellowship with a lot of people, and it was like Kirsten said, it was like a lot of them aren't really, they don't have a home church where they come and listen to this truth. And I came to a point where I start to really, you know, appreciate this church, appreciate the teaching, appreciate, you know, what Pastor of Labor in the Faith, and coming back to, like, I mean, I'm on fire again, and I've just been spending time, and really, I really needed this, and I thank God for it.
Hello. I don't think I had much of a choice of going, because I did most of the driving, so so it was like, Renee, you're going. That was pretty much it. But conference was amazing. It really was. The confessions that are said on, you know, Friday nights, you know, this message being so simple and with such clarity, that's pretty much what it was over there. I mean, the message that was taught and was brought over there, it literally gave you no excuses. Like, you had no way of justifying anything that you could do. That's just how powerful it was. Just how powerful it was. I mean, they pretty much said everything, but, you know, just like Kristen said and just like Alex said, this week I started sort of kind of fasting. Haven't fasted in a while. But I ended up broke my fast. I was at my parents' house, and I noticed that they had, you know, my sister brought some Oreos for my nephew here. And I walked in the fridge and looked up in the covers several times. I'm like, Lord, why is this happening now? I need to be home, be fasting. So got tempted. I started eating a few Oreos, and I felt like, you know, the flesh started badgering me, like, you know, you should have never done this. And I've been reading Romans and other few books in the Bible, and I just, you know, this one verse, Romans 8, chapter 1. Therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I mean, I really had to just, like, you know, got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. I'm like, yo, why am I feeling guilty? But I'm going to go ahead and continue. But they pretty much said everything. You know, it was just an amazing time. Can I say, I got closer to a lot of these guys. Love them. We just got to keep it going, you know? All right.
Oh, Lord. There's a lot of people here. Yeah, I kind of wanted to go for like a whole month before the conference, because I was just wondering. I've always heard Bronk for like 12 years. So I was like, let's hear some new people, you know? So not that, you know, I was just like, you know, I just want to. But yeah. So I made sure I packed my headphones. That way I could not talk to anybody the whole ride up and just listen to music, because I didn't really like anybody, except for Renee and Harry. They're pretty cool. But so I decided I wouldn't have my headphones in the whole ride up like Alex. So I actually talked to some people. We laughed and stuff. And at about 12 o'clock, from 5 o'clock, like he said, is when it got crazy. And everybody's all tired and just saying crazy stuff. And we're all laughing. I never laughed so much in my life. So, but when we got there, it was pretty cool. I think they have two services a day for 4 days. The Wednesday, we skip Wednesday because there's a fun day. But I think Dave Roberson showed up on Thursday night. And he wasn't even supposed to be there. But he decided to walk in. He was wearing swim trunks and a t-shirt. and he was just going to stop in, and then he just started healing everybody. And then, you know, everybody starts following him around, and he just heals everybody, like, in, like, an hour and a half. And they were like, all right, let's go home. So we all went home. So that was pretty cool. And a lot of those people had never seen Dave before heal people. Like, we saw him, like, last year, I think it was. But a lot of those people were pretty shocked, you know? So that was pretty cool to see that. And it was pretty cool hanging out with everybody. And actually, I started, he taught, I think it was Sunday night. We went to the Sunday night service with Gary when they did the confessions. And he taught us about, and we hear this a lot, but he taught us about like the power of your words, you know, and like that. And he talked about the confessions and stuff. And so that's why I kind of got home. I decided to start not just praying in tongues and reading the Bible, but I started praying out loud in English and speaking stuff, you know. And so that's pretty great. So I've been trying to pray, you know, pretty good times in the day, like big chunks of the day. So, and I try to pray, like, you know, as I'm walking through the day, you know, and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. So I think that's about it.
Well, I thought I was going to go last because I am the oldest of the group, and they made that known. It was I was a designated chaperone because we know Pastor Homer was not going to be the chaperone of the trip. So, but anyway, I think being the oldest, I wanted to say that, is that I've been in the world for a lot longer than the young adults have been, a good 10, 15 years. And when you work in the world, and even though you're brought up in a really strong Christian faith, I've been ever since I was born in, you know, the church and Rhema and Kenneth Hagin, and I heard all the messages praying in tongues growing up. And you can, and I know we say it, you can get seared a little bit with, you know, because you know all the content. And when you work in the world, you see, you know, people's ideas, and, you know, you work with other Christians, but they still drink, or they still watch certain things, or they still think certain things. And so you don't excuse, like, you don't, I mean, I didn't do it, you know, I don't do those things, but I started thinking, well, I don't know that this, anyway, I'm just going to say it. Like, it's their life, and they're choosing to do that. So, I mean, they can get forgiven, and it's what they're doing. So, yes, it's wrong, and I'm not doing it, but, they're, you know, just let them have what they're doing. And going to this conference and getting into the Word again and reading, you know, the Bible clearly is stating what is wrong and what is right. And I can no longer, as a born-again believer and Christian, sit next to a friend who is drinking as we go out to dinner and have fun and be okay with that. Because before I would say, you know, it's their life and they're doing it. And not that I'm going to condemn them or, you know, say you're going to hell for drinking or going to hell for cussing or watching that movie or watching that show. But I don't need to hang around that either. You know, I don't need to say, yeah, I'll go out and we'll have dinner together because we work together and we're really good friends. And, you know, because there are really wonderful people in the world. I mean, we're not the only ones that are great people. I mean, there are really nice and gentle and kind people in the world, but they're living in sin and they're not living how God really wants us to live. And so I just, out of the whole conference, it just made me see that, you know, the narrow path is very narrow, and it is, and you're not going to know that it's narrow if you keep listening to Facebook, and you keep listening to your friends in the world, and because, like I said, I've been teaching for 15 years, and being around teachers and in the world, you hear what they hear, and you hear their complaints and their gripes. But in order for me to know what is right and what is wrong, even though I grew up in it, I have to stay in the Word myself. And, you know, reading over again, I started 1 Corinthians, and, you know, and it clearly states, like, you know, the 8 sins, lying and cheating and fornication and adultery. I mean, it boom, 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 boom. I mean, it lays it out. I mean, it's black and white. So when people say in the Word or on Facebook or whoever your friends, well, it's okay because God forgives, or it's okay. And I'm like, I'm going to be like, no, do you not read the Bible that I read? Because it clearly states it is black and white. So this has just given renewed a boldness in me this trip to stand for what God really wants us to stand for, and, you know, maybe be rejected for what we believe, but just keep taking a stand and standing tall and being proud that you're not going to waver to any side. So
Y'all have to forgive my sunglasses. I had eye surgery on Friday, so the lights are a little bright. And I think everyone done said everything there is to say. But I came away with like three things from the conference. Because we got there on Sunday about 9 o'clock, and me and Lupita are like, we got to go to church because we're right in time for the second service. We got to go because we're here to go to church. We got to go to church. And everybody was like tired. I was like, nah, we're good. So me and Lupita, we went to church. And Gary Carpenter was preaching. And, you know, we're in shorts and flip-flops. And we're like, we're just going to hide in the back, you know, quick brush our teeth in the bathroom. No one will even notice we're there. We end up sitting on, like, the second row because someone, like, drug us up there. We're like, okay, fine, we'll sit with you. We'll sit on the second row. Next thing I know, Gary Carpenter has got me up front for one of his little examples. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm in shorts. They got the camera going. I was like, this is going to be great. Be all over the internet. This is going to be great. But it was kind of funny because, like, I had never come up for an example, and no one's ever called me up for anything. So that was, like, really cool. Even though my attire wasn't all that. And then we got to go to the... Well, it's their Sunday night confession, which is our Friday night confession. And it was like basically the exact same thing, only Tulsa instead of Immokalee. So that was really neat. And there was like hardly anybody there. So it was like really cool to see like their stuff is the same as our stuff. Like there's very few people there, but the people who are there are extremely dedicated. You know, no matter what, we're here. This is what we're doing. And it was really neat to see, you know, that there were people in other places doing the same thing that we're doing and that we weren't just an island unto ourselves. You know, it wasn't just, you know, day after day after day doing the same thing over and over, and it's like, it's just us. And it was cool to see, you know, there were people from Jim's church and there was people from Tulsa and Arizona. You know, people everywhere doing the same thing that we were doing day in and day out, who kind of felt the same thing we were doing. You know, we've been doing this for 15 years, but it was neat to see. I mean, wasn't necessarily neat, but like that it was almost sad that there wasn't a lot of us as you think there were. Because, like, when we got to conference, there was maybe 100 people of us. Because, like, they shrunk down the church because there's four big sections. It's, like, four big sections of these. And they shrunk it down to two, and we sort of filled up those two sections. And, like, I want to say 75 of those people were new to this. Like, they had just gotten the book. You know, they just started listening. And they did not have a church that they were going home to like we do. And, like... this was really, really rare, in that our pastor was, you know, top of the line. Like when Tim was, yeah. And when Tim was preaching, you know, he had a list of preachers that, you know, you could go on their website and you could listen to them, and you didn't have to worry about, you know, picking out the stubble from the hay or the hay from the stubble. You know, you could go and you could listen without having to, you know, guard your heart per se. And, you know, our pastor was one of them. We're all like, yeah. We're like, yep, that's what we're talking about. That's us. And, but it was almost sad to see how short that list was. There was only five on that list. And, you know, when we started, there used to be more on that list. And there's people who are no longer on that list. You know, people that, you know, I had listened to. And I was like, wow, that person isn't here anymore. It's like, it's sad. And let's see. And there was one thing I did realize: we are like extremely spoiled, because you know we have a great pastor, and like the worship here is like top notch. Because people used to come here, like Jim Martin and like Gary Carpenter, they come here and they'd say, you know, the worship here is awesome. Like it is like top of the line. We're like, yeah, whatever, you know. And then you get to Tulsa and you're listening and you're, you know, worshiping and stuff, and you realize, you know, the worship at our church is really top of the line. I get what they're saying now. It's like, not that, you know, any other one's worship is bad, but we definitely have crossed a line. You know, when we worship, you know, we touch God and God comes and shows up, and you know, there's presence here, just like Pastor said, you know, the, you know, presence is charged. And it was like, wow. But you know, their worship is good though. People there are talented, even though we know Harry and Robert are better. They didn't hear it from me though. And it was neat though, because I got to talk to Gary and I got to talk to Dave, and I'm one of the people, I'm in the back, you know, people don't usually notice me, but I got to talk to them, and Dave Roberson asked me what my name was. So I was like, oh my gosh, he asked me what my name was. He wasn't know me. And I got to talk to him, you know, I was telling him, you know, when I was 8 years old, you know, he came to our church for the first time, and I got to see the miracles demonstrated. And I found out on Thursday night when he was performing miracles and stuff that most of those people had never seen that stuff. I was like, you've never seen this? I mean, I grew up on this. This is normal for me. And it's like, that should be normal. It shouldn't be like totally wow. Because like there was this one picture somebody took. Pastor Day prayed for me and my feet were this far off. I mean, it was extreme. And there's this one kid, when it grew out, his face was like, and someone got a picture of it, and it was like, wow, I mean, that was normal. That was like, hey, thanks for that. You know, and this one kid was like, gonna fall on the floor. So, and it was really neat that, you know, Dave Robeson was able to come in his t-shirt and his swimming trunks and pray for everybody, and that be okay. Because, you know, I came from a religious church, and if it had been in that church, they'd have shut that down. They said, oh, no, we're not having that. We're supposed to be having church. We're supposed to be starting at 7 o'clock. We ain't having none of that. And it was really amazing to know that we are free from religion. Because I know some of y'all, I mean, this is all y'all know. And I grew up in a religious church. So I know religion. And I know what it's like to be under that. And then to have such freedom to be able to, you know, Dave Robeson starts praying for him. We're all following him around like little duckies wanting to see. And that be okay. And then everyone just be like, okay, I guess we're done. We've had church. We're going home now. Because anywhere else they would have been like, uh-uh, we have none of that. I mean, we're here to have church. So that was definitely amazing to see that kind of freedom. And so, yeah, I think that's all I got to say.
I'm not a mic person, but before we went to a conference. It's too loud. I forgot Alice is deaf. I wanted my own room. I didn't like these people, to be honest. I even told Homer I wanted my own room, but he's like, this is fellowship. I was like, okay. So I had to share a room. And by Thursday night, I was sharing before I went, I was like, I'm getting the couch. I'm not going to share a bed with nobody. I was telling Rosie, and by Thursday night, I was sharing my couch bed with Kirsten. We were just laughing. The fellowship was great. That was, I didn't like nobody, telling you, besides Homer and Rosie. Maybe Renee. But the fellowship was great. Everybody was eating out of everybody's plate. Everybody was buying everybody food. I ain't like my bank account when I came back, but it was great. The Nathan did great. I mean, he was about my age, younger than me. He's 29, 32, and I was like, wow. And being the Word, Pastor Dave did an awesome job. We were getting ready for worship that day, and it was like Jesus just walked in the room. Everybody just gathered them. They didn't know. And we did have a question. I'm not going to go into the question, but we did have a question where somebody was talking about asking questions about the pastor. And when I heard that, and I hear people talk about the pastor, it makes me appreciate my pastor even more. Oh, my God. It's just, I am blessed to be in this church because of the way my pastor teaches us. He was a love. I mean, not much people. I think we were the blessed people there, having the two best pastors that we could have. And to be honest, I was waiting for Homer to preach. I was hearing him, but Something about Homer, it never gets old. So, so I think there was a few of us, we Christian few of us, that were upset that Pastor Homer didn't preach. And it made us, it made me realize the worship, because there was the first few days we didn't know the songs, but we didn't like the worship. So it made us realize that we can worship without knowing the song or without liking the song. And we complained the whole time when we got out of the conference, isn't it, Kirsten? About, we didn't like the song. We came home. On the way home, we came home singing the songs. Like Jesus. But the teachings were great. The food was great. It was reality. But one thing that Nathan talked about was about our sinful life, how we can say no. And we came back. Pastor Brown was talking about it, preaching about it. But other than that, reading the word is important. I thought praying in tongues was the most important thing in our lives. But so I've been stuck on 1 John. Because even though I love these people now, I still got a lot of hate in me. But
Corey.
Like everybody was saying, it was silence. Just, I'll kill you.
Silence.
I'll kill you. No, but like everybody was saying, it was just amazing. The amount of unity we had there, it was just like seeing family everywhere, just family. We were eating off each other's plates. We were drinking out of the same cup. Like we had known them for years, and we had just barely met these people. But it was just an amazing conference, and the Lord did tell me you and Candy need to drive in October for making us drive. He said, y'all need to bond. He said, y'all need to bond.
You took offense, Pastor.